Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Justin Mania, Ashton Higgins, Joey Devine, Tumani Kamara, Trendon Watford, Sean Keane, Greg Brown the Third, Chance Comanche, he's a murderer, special guest Corbin A. Smith, Patreons Keith Parrish, thank you Keith, and thank you Mike, Chris Crittenden, thank you, Chris. Musical guest, the Dirty Mac. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I guess the ghost of Don Pardo has been watching a lot of Portland Trailblazers basketball for the last two seasons. Those are all guys who have taken the court, and one of them is in prison right now. But hey, shout out to Chase Comanche. The prosecutors will not be seeking the death penalty. So
Why even do it?
He learned a lot from Chauncey Billups, is all I'm saying.
That voice you're hearing right now is the host of the Turtle Pond Hangout podcast. The host of what is the name of your movie podcast, Corbin? It's really long and I always forget. It's the American Insurance. What is it? It's
the Pacific Northwest Insurance Corporation Movie Film Podcast.
Movie Film Podcast, yeah. That's right. From Rolling Stone. From
Will.i.am
that week. From the Daily Beast.
I've actually been writing for the other alt-weekly lately.
Oh, what's the other alt-weekly?
Portland Mercury.
From the Portland Mercury. From the Daily Beast, from Vice Sports, it's Corbin A. Smith. You're probably wondering, Corbin doesn't watch basketball. Why is he here this week?
That's fucking rude. I'm going to watch the playoffs.
And
I listen to the Low Post sometimes.
Before we talk news, I should say our top story today is Malachi Flynn scored 50 points for the Detroit Pistons. And we had Malachi Flynn watcher, host of Locked On Raptors, Sean Woodley, call to tell us how he feels about a Raptor casts off Malachi Flynn and Delano Banton looking unstoppable. So here's a call from Sean.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Joey. It's Sean Woodley, your friend from Locked On Raptors. We're not going to talk about the Raptors today because they stink. You asked me to call in to talk about Malachi Flynn, a former Raptor who also really stinks. And you asked me to call in with my thoughts and feelings on Malachi Flynn scoring 50 points against the Atlanta Hawks for the Pistons. And I've been sitting with it for like 24 hours. I don't know if I even have thoughts, which is a weird thing because the guy scored 50 points. But this is how irrelevant I think Malachi Flynn is, that I just, like, I can't wrap my head around it. I can't reckon with the fact that this happened. I can't even get upset as, you know, oh, it's a guy the Raptors could have kept around and had him grow into something. No, I just, so it's got me thinking, is this the closest that a player in a 50-point game and its occurrence will be to a player signing a contract in Europe? I feel like it has to be. Like, maybe there's some instance in the past that I can't remember. I know plenty of guys have gone overseas to go and pursue things. Maybe Steve Francis did it at some point. I don't know. But it does feel like this is the closest. I think, well, what, 7 games from the end of the year? This feels like the closest between a guy scoring 50 and a guy just being out of the league. Because I don't know. Who's going to sign this guy? He stinks out loud. I don't understand how he scored 50 points. The Atlanta Hawks should maybe be contracted for allowing it. It's baffling. The Portland Trailblazers also have Delano Banton doing crazy things right now. You asked me to talk about him. I also don't have thoughts there. I think my overarching thoughts here are March and April basketball are very bad, and I've grown maybe more curmudgeonly this year. And in that curmudgeonliness, I've come to like college basketball because the players are trying. Am I old? Am I a grump? I don't know how I – these are my feelings. This is baffling. I hate this all. The Raptors have broken my spirit 15 games in a row. I know we're not talking about the Raptors. We'll talk about the Raptors some other time. I don't know what to do with this, guys. This has been a rambling, incoherent phone call. Do with it what you will. I just wish I had better – thoughts for you, but I don't. Malachi Flynn scoring 50 points doesn't make any sense. And so my call makes no sense as well. Okay, bye guys.
Thank you, Sean. Now let's get straight to why Corbin is here this week. We've got some news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
That's right. We only have one Jerry West correspondent, and that is Corbin A. Smith. The king of the Jerry West haters. And that's why he's on. Sean, do you want to explain why our top story involves the logo?
The logo himself, Jerry West, Mr. Clutch, Zeke from Cabin Creek. He hates that nickname. Former All-Star, the only Finals MVP to lose the Finals in the year he got the award. Perhaps the most Jerry West thing about him.
Yeah.
Former coach, former executive, former member of the 1960 Olympic basketball team, Korea hater, self-hater.
Man who's ever been maddest at HBO.
Maddest at HBO, and also maybe the guy who has gotten the most angry during a summer league basketball game. Mm-hmm. It's Jerry West.
Why?
Oh, sorry. He is going into the Basketball Hall of Fame
finally.
For a third time.
Oh, okay.
For a third time.
Never mind.
He's already in as a player. He is in for being on that 1960 Olympic basketball team. And now he's going to go in as a contributor slash executive slash consultant, mm-hmm. because they have to give him credit for the Warriors.
For the consulting he did.
The consulting, yeah, the consulting he did there.
You know, the what, you know, the Warriors,
consulting he did with the Clippers recently.
The Warriors truly were dog shit until they got Jerry West involved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were actually, but I kind of feel like it's one of those like correlation and causation things. Yeah. But yeah, they were actually dog shit before he arrived.
That, yes, I know. But he had nothing to. Okay.
Yeah. There is. There's
look,
one,
you know what? I'll even say. If you want to put him in as an executive, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I probably deserves it. He had
a lot of success. Kobe.
He had a lot of success.
They traded for Kobe, Joey. Well, technically,
he drafted Kobe. But yeah,
and
yes,
he signed Shaq. Which, how could he have been such a fucking genius to shine Shaquille?
Wow. It is kind of funny though that he like manages to succeed in a way that lots of smart basketball people have just like continually failed. Like, you know the ABA story about Kareem, right, Corbin?
Yes, I do, yes.
You're George Mike, and they're like, just give Kareem a check for $1 million. And he's like, my introductory offer is $500,000.
And they're like, okay, we're going to the
Kareem's
NBA.
Kareem's like, I said one offer, and this other offer is clearly more. Also, I'm going to the real league and not the one that is probably going out of business in 6 years.
It merged.
And I mean, the ABA won spiritually.
Yeah.
But,
not
but
really.
Yeah,
they didn't keep the ball.
No, yeah, but they did keep the three-point line.
And like the style of play, and oh, and George Karl, they kept George Karl around for a really long time. So they won. They won.
We got him.
So
that's why it was a merger. Because they decided George Karl was more important than Dr. J.
You know, I'm going to pitch an idea for an episode that I would like to appear on in the future.
Okay. Sure.
I think that we should do an episode about the ABA dispersal draft.
Okay.
I would
That's
love
a Patreon
to do
episode for sure. Yeah.
Let's do it. I'll do it whenever.
Yeah.
Maybe after the playoffs. But
let's talk.
You know,
let's talk Jerry West. First off, Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he should be counted as a member of the 1960 Olympic basketball team?
I don't know. I mean, look. I don't know why the 1960 Olympic basketball team is in the Hall of Fame.
Because they're considered the greatest collection of college players ever assembled. Because they had Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, Jerry Lucas, and some other people. Walt Bellamy, and then is that all the Hall of Famers?
Jerry Lucas, the guy who wrote the memory books.
The Memory Man, yeah.
So the Memory Man. Do you know this about Jerry Lucas, Joey Devine?
No.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Jerry Lucas had a second career where he wrote books about how to like master the art of memory.
Mm. Yeah. And he could like recite when he was on the Knicks, he'd delight the provincial writers of that town by like reciting pages from the phone book, and he'd go on talk shows and do his memory tricks. I also believe he was like a stockbroker, but also maybe lost people a lot of money.
Among us,
I'm not really
sure.
Like
Christian Leitner.
Oh yeah, actually.
Yeah, the memory book, the Lucas Learning System. He's written 70 books about memorizing things.
Wow. You gotta imagine he only wrote like half of those.
And then he wrote the other half down 70 times by memory, right? All right.
Actually he had declared, but sorry, he was like an active player when he lost players a ton of money.
Hell yeah.
He declared bankruptcy as an active player in 1969, which is
so he hadn't even won a title yet. That's crazy.
So you know what? I suggest NBA Hall of Fame, put Jerry Lucas in a second time or a third time, I guess, for memory.
Is Jerry
for
Lucas
achievements in memory? He's got to be in as a player and as a 1960 Olympic best Olympian.
Is he
right?
In as a player? I don't know. Let's find out.
It seems like it, right? I don't know.
I'm not seeing anything that have said that it's oh no, Hall of Fame is player.
Yeah.
Who's not a Hall of Fame player?
We're talking about Jerry Lucas. Oh,
yeah, anybody on those Knicks teams is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
And that's true. Andy was also a 7-time All-Star.
Yeah. So
he shouldn't be in the NBA's greatest 75, however, which has like five members of the 73 Knicks.
Yeah, better than Dame.
I mean, you're preaching the choir here. I guess that's the idea. And four guys on the team won consecutive Rookie of the Years. It's just that it doesn't really seem that awesome when you look at any team from 1992
on.
The Dream Team is also in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, but, like, I'm sure they will get in the Redeem Team and everyone will just be like, we just weren't able to focus until when Kobe was there. He set the tone. Kobe and Jason Kidd set the
tone. Kobe, I love Kobe.
Two good guys.
Yeah, Jason Kidd.
They should put that Larry Brown team in. Fuck it.
And they're like, yeah, a lot of future MVPs on this team.
Also, Larry Brown refused to play. Are they ever going to put in, like, who beat that team?
The Argentine national team?
Yeah,
they actually might do that.
Well, Argentina did beat them, but also, if you remember, most importantly, they lost to Puerto Rico because Carlos Arroyo went insane. Put Carlos Arroyo in the Hall of Fame is what I'm saying.
We joke about international players going in the Hall of Fame, but they probably will go in the Hall of Fame. Dino Raja is in the Hall of Fame.
Raja Bell?
Dino Raja.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Vlade, right?
Well, yeah, but Vlade is a little bit different because Vlade has a professional career dating back to when he was like 14 and playing on an adult men's team in Yugoslavia. So it's like you look at him and you're like, he's got some titles and some like Eurobasket. Anyway,
You know what the craziest thing about 14-year-old Vlade was? He was actually hairier than all the men he was playing with.
Yeah. Smoking more too. Corbin, did you see Vlade was sitting courtside against the Kings the other night? Did you see this?
No, I did not. Tell me.
Well, let's just say Luka destroyed the Kings single-handedly. And going into a timeout, pointed at Vlade and said, "It's his fault. I'm not on your team."
And it's because he hates Luka's dad.
I know that story. But
no, he said he should have drafted me. That's what he said as he pointed to him.
Yeah, I mean, that story rules because it was just some weird it was just like some weird arcane Balkans shit that made it so that Vlade didn't draft the best prospect on paper ever. Mm-hmm.
You know who drafted Vlade Divac?
The Los Angeles Jerry West.
Jerry West to get back to our.
You know what? And you know what? Good move, because not a lot of guys were hip to the European thing super early.
And it got them Kobe Bryant eventually.
Yeah, whatever.
But Corbin,
ball hog.
You hate Jerry West.
I do. Yes.
How do you feel about?
I hate him. I hate him. But I will say, I think that two of these Hall of Fame qualifications are fine.
You're against the Olympic team one.
Yeah, fuck that. come on, the 1960. Yeah, everybody's always talking about the 1960 Olympic team. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
There is one other triple inductee in the Hall of Fame who beat Jerry. Can you name them?
Is it Barkley?
It is not Barkley, because I think he's not. Well, he would only be in as a player and a broadcaster. I mean, he might be.
No, he's in with the Dream Team.
Oh, he is a double. It's not. I guess he's not in as a broadcaster yet, or I'm not sure how they do broadcasters for the NBA Hall of Fame. That is a really good guess. It does involve the Dream Team, however. I can just tell you guys.
No, but I will give me one more second to give me.
Yeah, sure.
Is it Magic?
No. And Magic is just in as he is not in as an executive.
He's not in as a businessman.
I don't think they would put Bird in as a coach.
No, he just didn't do it long enough. Basically, yeah. I mean, he was on his way.
Yeah, but yeah, he was. But
it was a little bit too much work, I think, actually.
Yeah. Decent executive, too, Bird. Bird could get in three times, but...
Yeah.
Maybe not quite good enough as an executive, as I'm sitting here thinking about it. I don't know. You tell me.
That's why they kept Isaiah Thomas off the Dream Team, by the way, because he'd be a triple inductee.
That would be truly hateful.
Is it Chuck Daly for some reason?
No, but you're close. It is a coach from the Dream Team. It is not Krzyzewski.
Wow.
It is an assistant coach from the Dream Team who was one of the better playing careers of a longtime NBA coach.
Who were
is it Adelman? No, Adelman didn't have a good playing career. Ugh.
Why am I having problems?
He won one title as a coach and then coached for like 25 more years after that and didn't win a title.
Is it Don Nelson?
It is not Don Nelson. No, Don Although Nelson he weirdly is in play. Twice. He just didn't go to the Dream Team. He is in as a player.
What?
It's wild.
I love.
He's well liked. He's well liked. But yeah, it is wild. He's in as a player.
I don't know.
Former coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Atlanta Hawks, and Seattle Supersonics. Lenny Wilkins.
Oh, I didn't know Lenny Wilkins was a coach on the Dream Team, but that makes sense.
He is on the staff. Yeah. It's Lenny him Wilkins, and I'm sure PJ was on the staff probably, right?
Lenny Wilkins, the winningest coach in NBA history for a long time until Don Nelson passed him up and then Phil Jackson passed him up. And then
Phil Jackson didn't pass Don Nelson.
No, sorry, I meant Pop. I said Phil Jackson. I meant Pop. Yeah,
they're like opposite guys. How could you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Coach K was coaching the Dream Team. The other coaches were Lenny Wilkins and hold on.
Oh man, excited to find out.
PJ Carlissimo. PJ Carlissimo
hilarious.
In the Basketball Hall of Fame because of this. Possibly in as a college coach too, considering what the Basketball Hall of Fame is like.
Mm-hmm. Larry Brown in twice as a pro and a college coach.
I don't think he's in as a pro.
He's not.
Anyway, back to Jerry West. Great.
Wait, who's not in as a pro?
Larry Brown.
LB.
Is he in as a player? I don't think so.
The only coach that Steve Wallace ever liked.
I think he's only in as a coach.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, he was also on the played. Anyway,
we'll talk about also the only coach. This is not a surprise to coach two different NBA franchises in the same season.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of surprised.
I don't think anyone's going to match that.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised Doc hasn't pulled it off.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was close. We'll talk about him a little later.
Corbin, do you know who else got in as part of this class as well?
Not off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
So your new inductees are Vince Carter.
I was just blind, white hot with rage. Yeah. Chauncey
Billups and Vince Carter are also going in.
Both deserving entries.
I don't think Chauncey Billups is, but okay.
I don't know. It's a real he won a lot situation, but he did win a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's it's like
how many times was Chauncey Billups the best player on the team he was on?
Oh, maybe never, but
yeah.
Wasn't he the finals MVP that year they beat the Lakers?
He was, yes. But was. Ben Wallace is obviously better than him.
And Rasheed Wallace also better than him.
I think
I agree with you. I think that other people might not.
I think he's a little overrated, but I also feel that way about the 2004 Pistons in general, where I'm like,
wow, hate.
I'm just saying.
They returned to the finals the next year, Sean.
They played in the Eastern Conference in the 2000s. I mean, when they won the title, they got devastating knee injuries from Jermaine O'Neal, Jason Kidd, and Carl.
A little bit of success for the Warriors. That Sean Keane is pissing on everyone else from a great height, I see.
I'm just saying I just feel like they're revered as this amazing team. And it's like, yeah, everybody got hurt. Like, they're a terrible offensive team. They played good defense.
Oh, my God. Do you hear that? You hang out with this guy, Joey? They're a terrible offensive team.
It's like, okay, they would have lost to they weren't as good as the Kings or the Lakers.
You don't need to be good in offense when you got the Wallace brothers front line, my man. Don't you see? The fact that they were bad at offense makes it even better.
It's like some of the worst basketball you've ever watched. Yes, they're playing these 68-65 playoff games, and people are like, that was, and they just they're also stealing valor from the Bad Boy Pistons because people are like, this was just a tough team that would beat you up. You know how Tayshaun Prince played, and then you're like, what? Richard Hamilton, a modern day bad boy, Richard Hamilton.
While I'm on the fucking show, first off. Second, you know, like the fact that it was the worst basketball ever makes it even fucking cooler. You know who you sound like right now? You sound like fucking Adam Silver. You sound like somebody who's like, oh no, we need to manage the product to make sure that we don't lose any of our precious viewers. The team valuations. Oh, the Pistons are ruining our precious valuations. No! Not playing offense and only playing stupid defense is fucking cool. The next NBA team who does it will have my heart.
See, this is the problem here is you, Corbin, are arguing with people who were raised on Don Nelson basketball, which is the opposite.
But also, I just watched that team play basketball. That's really what I'm like. I would watch like the Spurs and the Lakers at the same time and like, oh, yeah, these guys are way better than this team. Oh, I was watching the Bulls or like even the Mavericks at the same time. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is the team that people are just like so underrated. Yeah, so underrated. I do feel like Ben Wallace is underrated.
Yeah.
But Richard Hamilton is very overrated.
Rasheed Wallace also.
He's like, what if you had Reggie Miller, but he wasn't as cool and he didn't shoot threes?
Yeah. Like, and he was so afraid to get hit in the face again, he wore a mask his entire career.
His entire career. He had the tough distance.
He did that as a luck thing. He did that because he did it once and he had a good game, and athletes are weird and superstitious. So he just wore it.
I wanted to touch his face.
You know what would have made the 2004 Pistons cooler, actually? If Michael Jordan hadn't insisted on trading him for Jerry Stackhouse. If Jerry Stackhouse was on that team, they'd be way cooler.
I'll give you that. I'll give you this. That's
that would actually be
Jerry Stackhouse instead of Richard Hamilton.
Also, the Malice of the Palace would have happened two years earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Frankly, I think the Hague would have had something to say about it.
The Malice of the Palace would have been Ron Artest coming up to Ben Wallace while Jerry Stackhouse slowly put on a set of coveralls on the sideline and then beat Ron Artest until he was in the hospital.
You know what? Okay, look, I understand. Sorry. I understand that Stack is very tough, but I think that pre-Malice Ron Artest is not somebody anybody wants to test, frankly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did claim that he was in a fight where someone was stabbed to death with a table leg.
And it was not even like a fight; it was just a basketball game.
What?
Yeah. I mean, there was a fight. But I think the guy, I don't remember the story exactly, but anyway. Yeah,
New York, man.
New York, it's in the water. The table legs are in the water. All right. Jerry West.
I'll tell you this right now. Jerry Stackhouse would have put Jerry West in the dirt. They played? Holy shit. Can you imagine if Jerry West starts fucking whining about some shit and Stack is on his team? Stack is fucking change it into a track.
Remember when Donald Trump gave Jerry West an award?
Yeah, I wrote about it. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, sorry. There's so much to fucking hate about this Jerry West character. Trump, okay. Trump is like singularly obsessed with celebrity bullshit. Mm-hmm. And when NBA teams start passing on going to the White House, he is like mad about it. And he's like, we got to give the Medal of Freedom to somebody who will come here. And so they give it to Jerry West. And Jerry West goes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a dickhead.
What are some other things Jerry West said okay to, Corbin?
I don't know. A bunch of advertisements, even though his black teammates didn't get the same opportunities. He even fucking admits it.
That's what I was trying to get you to talk about.
Yeah, that. And then he goes, yeah, but, you know, people were asking me. I really admired when Bill Bradley would said no to that. But, you know.
Yeah, and Bill Bradley's name was Dollar Bill. The man loved money.
That's true.
But yeah, he loved being a moral person better. All right. I will say, we only have one Hall of Fame expert here on the show. We've talked to our Jerry West expert. And we do have a Hall of Fame correspondent, our friend Joe Quizzala of the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast. Mm-hmm. I asked him to give us a call about a 3-time inductee of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here is what Joe said.
You know, somebody has already talked to me about this.
All right, here's what Joe said.
Hi, Roundball Rock. It's Joe Quizzala, friend of the show and host of the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast. Thought I would chime in. I heard there's a new, who's actually the first, 3-timer in the basketball Hall of Fame, the NBA Hall of Fame. I already forget what it is. And I don't know who it is, and I didn't care to look it up. I'm going to assume it has to be basketball, the ball itself. You know, why 3 times? Because of 3-pointer, of course. Anyway, I thought I would draw the comparison to the only 3-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, which is Eric Clapton. People will act like that's some sort of injustice. I do think he deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times with the Yardbirds, an important group, Cream, again, an important group, and his solo career was significant. So, sure, put him in 3 times. The only reason we don't want him in 3 times, though, is because he, as a guy, sucks. He's against immigrants, which is ironic given that his whole career is essentially as an immigrant to a black form of music, which is the blues. He's kind of the biggest immigrant of them all, as he's a white limey. That's a term I use all the time. Also, like, he wrote a song with Van Morrison about the lockdown. Eric Clapton is just a big, dumb idiot, and luckily we don't really have to hear about him too much in our culture anymore, because we did that in the 90s, and that was plenty. May he die soon. All right. Clapton is God. I'm going to spray paint Clapton is dead when he's dead, you know. There's a famous spray. Anyway.
Yeah.
Basketball forever. We love hooping it up. Here's hoping that the hoop itself can get in a few times into the Hall of Fame. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you, Joe. Listen to the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast. I will say, as I was listening to Joe talk about that, I do kind of think Jerry West is the Eric Clapton of the NBA.
Oh, yeah. 100. Yes. You know, Sean Hyken messaged me about this yesterday. And he said, how do you feel about Jerry West? Da, da, da. And he said, you know, there's only one guy in the Rock Hall, and it's actually, he's actually kind of like Jerry West. And my first answer was wrong, and then he said he's kind of like Jerry West, and I went, oh, Clapton.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to about Clapton's Rock Hall credentials. First off, no, when was the last time you listened to a Yardbird song? Nobody's ever listened to a Yardbird song. That's fucking horse. That idea that they were important is fucking horse shit. Throw it in the garbage. Cream, fine, whatever.
I mean, it's like, well, the Yardbirds are famous because they launched
the careers of three different famous guitarists.
Yeah, but you don't
listen. But they weren't in the band at the same time.
Also,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you don't listen to the, like, you don't know a Yardbird song.
I know one.
What is it?
For Your Love.
What's that? How's that go?
For your love, I will do da 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 da. For your love, da 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 da. And then the chorus is just.
This sounds like.
For your love, I'm just saying. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying you've definitely.
I know you're not. I know you're not. But this song sounds fucking bad. Nobody likes the fucking Yardbirds. Hey.
The Clapton version of the Yardbirds released two singles.
Wow, great. I'm glad you definitely deserve to get in a Hall of Fame for that. Okay, look, fine. Two.
Look, take it up with Little Steven, all right?
Right. Yeah. Two. His solo career is, of course, a series of atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody here disagrees with that, correct?
You don't like his Unplugged?
You know what? That version of Layla kind of goes, if we're all being honest. But no, of course I don't. Three. Cream? Also, Cream. Come on.
Yeah. I was going to.
What about John Mayall's Blues Breakers? Could they get into the Rock Hall, Joey, giving him four?
Well, that's a Quazala question. I'm going to guess no, though.
Derek and the Dominoes.
You know what? If they'd continued the singles category, I actually think Derek and the Dominoes would have gotten in again.
They should induct everybody in Derek and the Dominoes except Eric Clapton.
Okay. What about Eric Clapton and Babyface?
That's the song I always think of when I think of Eric Clapton's solo career. From the Phenomenon soundtrack.
What about Eric Clapton's Upstairs Window?
No, I was hoping to get out of this without making a joke about
that. Can you cut that? I don't feel good about that. I want to apologize to everyone involved. My bad. Sorry.
Anyway, congrats.
Have you heard the legend of what happened with the Yardbirds and Led Zeppelin?
No.
That they talked about having a super group, which is just the dudes from The Who and Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Entwistle said it would go over like a lead balloon. And then Keith Moon said, well, if we call it a Led Zeppelin. And then Jeff Beck missed out on that. Jeff Beck, are you familiar with a lot of Jeff Beck songs, by the way? While we're there?
I'm not. I have one more thing to say about fucking Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, sure.
That person who spray painted Clapton is God in mm-hmm. England.
Yeah.
Is English. You shouldn't listen to what they have to say about rock and roll. This is a tweety little man who drinks his fucking tea and who fucking is like I'm hungry. I better go get as many French fries as a person can possibly eat. And you're listening to them about fucking rock and roll? Rock and roll is American music, goddammit.
One last question about Jerry West, guys. Yeah, you guys have both read his book. Sean, you've seen him speak in person several times.
Yeah. At Eyes Wide Shut parties.
Is him getting in the Hall of Fame as a third time finally gonna make him feel appreciated and happy?
No.
So he had one rough encounter with the Hall of Fame when former Lakers owner Dr. Jerry Buss
mm-hmm.
was being inducted, and he wanted Jerry West, his longtime friend and partner with the Lakers, to induct him. And on one of the initial programs, maybe all the initial programs, they omitted Jerry West's name as a speaker. Uh-huh. And the Hall of Fame was like, oh my God, we totally blew this. I mean, we invited you here. Bought you this hotel room and flew you out here to do this. Obviously, this is a mistake. Jerry West retreated to his hotel room and refused to answer the phone or return messages for the entire weekend as people like Jerry Buss were like, please, Jerry, this is very important to me. Can you induct me into the Hall of Fame? This is also not really about you. This is about me getting into the Hall of Fame.
No. Well, that look.
Also, Jerry West's own family was pleading with him. Please, Jerry, call someone back.
Jerry West is the guy in the world who is most inclined to say, I don't really care about how anyone thinks about me, while meaning the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, no, it's all I care about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he finally got in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Jerry West.
Good job. Finally some recognition.
Let's get terrible news for steakhouses across Springfield, Massachusetts. who will be forced to put up with yet another round of Jerry West's in-restaurant bullshit.
Freaking out at a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Corbin, there was another piece of news today you might find interesting. Mm-hmm. So Joel Embiid, who has been injured a lot this year, but has been playing awesome.
Yes.
Signed a new shoe deal. See who it was with?
No, I did not. With whom?
Skechers. He's the lead Skechers spokesman.
Whatever. That's just fucking cool. God bless him. Who owns Skechers?
Skechers, the shape ups. Guy Fieri, probably.
No. Skechers factory outlet.
It's the third largest footwear brand in the United States. It is the founder of LA Gear.
The founder of LA Gear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a private company?
No, it's publicly traded.
It's publicly traded. You can buy.
But the guy who the founder and the CEO is the guy who founded LA Gear.
Ooh, I have some terrible news about Joel Embiid. Skechers stock price is down today.
In 2021, by the way, French prosecutors launched an investigation into whether Skechers and other brands had concealed or profited from forced Uyghur labor.
Ooh.
So
I would like to reach out formally to Patreon member Ennis Cantor Freedom to don't let Joel Embiid or Terrence Mann or Julius Randle get away with this, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they had to pay $40 million. This is way more money than I thought this fine was, because they said that Skechers shape-ups would help your legs and ass look better, mm-hmm. which had no foundation in it and was endorsed by Kim Kardashian,
I believe. Joe Montana.
And Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Montana.
His ass looks good.
Robert Greenberg was recognized with Footwear News prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award in 2015.
So here is a list of Footwear personalities. Here's a list of personalities that Joel Embiid joins that are also sponsored or have worked with Skechers in the past. Ringo Starr, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart, Brooke Burke, Amanda Klutz, Clayton Kershaw, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tony Romo, Howie Long, and Chris Carter.
Well, hey, Kersh, that's a great pitcher.
Skechers, this is their first foray into... Oh, it's not their first foray into basketball. They're finally getting into professional sports now. They've signed English national team soccer player Harry Kane and Julius Randle, Terrence Mann, and Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Harry Kane like a million years old?
I think he's not. I think you're thinking of Gareth Cole. I think Harry Kane is like 31.
Oh, he's 30.
I mean, he's 30. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Anyway, congratulations on, I gotta say, Sean, do you feel good about Joel Embiid signing with a shoe company that's never made a basketball shoe before, considering his body generally?
No, I don't feel great about it.
I disagree.
Mm.
I think the Skechers has a long history of designing shoes with
wheels in them.
Okay, with orthopedics in mind, in addition to with wheels in them. Yeah.
Right? Didn't Skechers also do Heelys? Anyway.
Well, hey, we all contain multitudes, Joey. I think they're going to be able to sit down with the man himself and make a custom sneaker that'll keep him healthy for another 6 or 7 months.
The show will be called the shoe will be called the Skechers SKX Float. And yes. Here is the copy someone wrote about it. Dominate the court with the exceptional performance and support of Skechers Basketball SKX Float. That feature a lockdown heel for players who prefer more stability. These basketball shoes offer a low top collar with a resilient Hyperburst Pro sock liner, breathable mesh upper, responsible Hyperburst cushioning, and durable Goodyear performance outsoles with enhanced traction. So Joel Embiid will be wearing tires on his feet.
Goodyear. Well, it hasn't really been one for the 76ers. Let's just say that.
Well, actually, tire and rubber vulcanization was very important for the sneaker industry. Check out my article about a sneaker exhibit on the Portland Mercury, because I read a very long art book about sneakers, and now I know a bunch about sneaker manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
You slander rubber vulcanization as a joke, but
it's not the vulcanization I was slandering. It's the branding of Goodyear.
Well, Goodyear,
it's a double branded
Goodyear
shoe.
Goodyear vulcanizes the best rubber. Yeah. And I think that it's going to make for a wonderful shoe, Joseph.
Could they sabotage them because of their northeastern Ohio location? Dayton and Toledo kind of being like the rubber. That's like the rubber country, right?
That's rubber, the rubber belt in this country.
Could they be sabotaging Joel Embiid in advance of a playoff series against the Cavaliers?
You guys know where my rubber belt is, right?
You left it at my house and then made me come back home from work to get it.
I didn't know I made you come back home from work.
I was like, I will mail you your belt. And you were like, no, I'm at your house. Come give me my belt. And I was like, why did you take your belt off at my house? This is a real story. Anyway.
You guys want to hear more Corbin Smith belt news?
Yes, please.
Both of my belts broke. I was just sitting, and you know what they said to me while they broke? They said, "Fuck you, fatso."
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that, Corbin.
I know.
Don't let your belts have been body shaming you.
My belts have been body shaming me,
Corbin. Here's something you'll like.
Anyway, because of that, okay. I've been wearing swim trunks everywhere lately. Because you don't need a belt for him, you just tie the string.
Corbin,
I actually I'm wearing some pants that are tied with a string right now. Not
bragging.
They're called joggers.
They're athleisure. Sean's an athleisure man now.
It's true.
Corbin, here's a piece of this story that you'll enjoy. Joel Embiid left Under Armour to sign with Skechers. Does that mean Steph Curry is a bad leader?
I don't have a funny answer. Next.
Fair enough. All right. Sean, do you have an answer for that? Nope. All right. We're moving on. Corbin, here's another thing about Joel Embiid. Do you have any guesses about who is headed for the 7-8 play-in for the Eastern Conference?
Yeah.
Well, I was listening to the Low Post the other day, so I do.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it.
The Heat, the Sixers... And there's another normally good team that's down low in there, but I forget what team it was.
It's currently the 7-8 is Pacers Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
9-10.
Did the Heat jump up to the 6?
The Heat are up to 6 now.
Congratulations to the Miami Heat.
By the way, Milwaukee will now either face Jimmy Butler Heat, Joel Embiid Sixers, or the Indiana Pacers, who are 4-1 against them this season.
Yeah.
Do you have faith in the greatest player in Portland Trailblazers history to beat either team?
You know, why do you invite me on your show and then say things to make me mad?
Because that's what our fans crave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I have at least one other podcast where that's what the fans crave too. Uh-huh. I don't know, man. No. I always mean to watch a bunch of basketball, but the year goes by so fast. I've got books to read. I've got Baldur's Gate to play.
You've got so many Tom Brady articles to write.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I watch football. I think Tom's coming back, by the way. Did you hear?
Do not try and shift this to a subject you know about Tom Brady. Answer no, about Dame.
It sounds like the Bucks are in a really shitty, stupid situation. It sounds like they got in a place where they hired a coach who literally nobody likes in the coach's entire life. And they went, oh, shit, we need somebody people like. And Doc is the only one available who players tend to actually like. And then, but Doc is kind of peddling some old stuff that doesn't work as well. And
well, you know who the team really seems to not like? The equipment manager.
It is wild. The Bucks lose to the Washington Wizards on the road in a game where they were hilariously unmotivated in this game. At the very end, the game was within 2 points, and they pressed the Wizards, and the Wizards threw it ahead to a guy who, in Wizards fashion, just absolutely bricked a layup. Mm-hmm. But only one player on the Bucks ran back, so the guy just calmly got his own rebound and then laid it in to ice the game. And Doc said afterwards, he said, he blamed the staff. He said,
Been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew. Everything. We don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. Everybody seems happy, you know, but except me after our game.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Yeah.
What isn't par for the course for Doc Rivers desperately trying to find someone else to blame for something.
May I offer?
Except in January, Giannis said this. It starts from the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better. The bench has to be better. The leaders of the team have to be more vocal. So my question, guys, is the equipment manager actually to blame for what has happened to the Bucks this season? Because two people have pointed it out. And also, what is he doing?
Well, it's just not good enough. You need to fucking, be on your shit. You need to be on top of it. You need to have clean uniforms for everybody. You need to have nice towels. This guy, a friend of mine works with somebody, they recently were excised from the organization. Mm-hmm. But the person, they were always not doing their job very well, is what I'll say. And when it came to a head,
Are you talking about Neil O'Shea? You're friends with Neil O'Shea?
Well, no, because they fucking kept Neil around for fucking decades. In hearing those sentences, I'm hearing two people that you can blame. Mm-hmm. The equipment manager, clearly. I think at the very least, we can infer that the equipment managers are doing a subpar job.
They're doing something.
Yes. There's something they're not doing very well. I think we can agree with that. Now, look, given... I agree that Doc is definitely, doing some sort of psychological tricks so that they can be in the thing at the beginning. Because, you know, you have to convince their players that this isn't their fault. Because if they think it's their fault, it's going to cycle. Cognitive behavioral therapy. You have to reshift the context that they're at, that they're, you know.
Have to protect Pat Connaughton and dump on a guy making $40,000 a year.
Yeah. So Doc has to be able to stand in the fucking thing and like hold up the towels and be like, look at this bullshit. Look what they're trying to do to us. To like, you know, sort of reshift. The idea, I get that. I even kind of respect it. Look, that guy makes $40,000 so that the team can wipe their ass with him. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, but if he doesn't want that to happen, then he should start a communist revolution.
Uh-huh. Great.
The second person that you obviously need to blame is Damian Lillard, because if Giannis is speaking to the press and saying our leaders need to be more vocal, like this is the only thing that anybody's ever fucking said about Dame his entire fucking career. It's like, oh, what a leader. Oh, vocal leader in the clubhouse. Oh, everybody's reformed and energized under Lillard, even though our teams are shitting the bed every night. And I'm just saying, Damian finally gets to the big show, the big boy show, instead of the fucking... instead of the fucking game of tiddlywinks you get to play in Portland, and then everybody goes, oh boy, you're so good. We love you so much. Oh boy. Oh, thank you for winning 40 games, sir.
I heard in Portland he would text the equipment managers every day, and he'd be like, you ready to work?
Yeah.
He'd send him fabric softener that he'd seen advertised on Prize Fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, but he gets to fucking Milwaukee. He doesn't get to go to Miami. And then he's like, now he's not like an amazing leader anymore. I'm just saying it's fucking interesting.
I know this might be a little unfair, but do you think he was kind of excited about being divorced in Miami?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Yes. This is what everybody has said.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're not the first person to say that, Sean. That he definitely was like, all right, family's ending. Phew. and now it's time for daddy to go somewhere fun. And they send him to fucking Milwaukee.
Well.
And you know what? Can I give it another in fairness?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, please.
Portland Trailblazer fans, these hogs, these pigs, these swine.
Uh-huh.
When all this was happening, they could not stop fucking bitching and whining about the Miami Heat's offer. Mm-hmm. And they were like, the Heat fans are being mean to us on the internet. They wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. Like, if somebody's being mean to you on the internet, fucking log off. Like, if it's getting to you, you don't need to be online, dipshit. Uh-huh. Anyway, I think in retrospect, we can all agree that the Blazers probably should have taken the Heat's deal, because Jaime Jaquez is better than anybody else they got back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll and see also, what happens with those Bucks picks, but yes.
Yeah. And also, frankly, I think if you have, you know, a fucking 22-year-old in there who's ready to take your fucking minutes, maybe it might kick some of these guys in the ass a little bit.
That's all. Sean, back to the
Anthony Simons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing I think they should do. Go on.
Wave Anthony Simons, okay.
You know what? Fucking wave him. Anything to get him out of my life. I'm tired of you know what happened the other day? I was walking with my friend from the pizza place to the bus station. We were taking a nice leisurely walk, having some conversations with
Scotty's or Pizza Shoals.
It was actually Lovely's 50-50. Now, let me tell you about Lovely's 50-50. It's a fascinating little pizza restaurant.
Mistake.
You fucked up bad, buddy, and you're not getting out of this. I want you to know that. It's a fascinating little pizza shop on Mississippi Street up in northern Portland. Let me tell you about what it is. It's sort of like a combination pizza shop, farm-to-table restaurant. So you've got this pizza, but you've also got toppings that are sort of highly intensely seasonal. And now let me tell you about the crust a little bit. First off, we're fermenting a little bit, so it's got that delicious little tart sourdough taste. But we also put a little whole wheat in the crust, which gives it an earthy nuttiness.
Hey, Sean, what are the Bucks equipment managers doing?
If you ask me, this is probably the second best pizza place in the city. Anyway, so we went from Lovely's to the bus station. And to get to the bus station, I had to walk through the Rose Quarter. And when I walk through the Rose Quarter these days, what I'm seeing are banners with all the Portland Trailblazers bullshit fucking players on them. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking and I'm showing my friend, yeah, that guy sucks, that guy sucks, that guy sucks, that guy sucks, that guy sucks. And then in the middle of this, I rolled my ankle and fell down and scraped the shit out of my knee to the point where I was kind of bleeding a lot, but I had to go home. So I just kind of kept walking and bled a lot on the bus. And then I got home and washed my leg and I was like, eh, you know what? It's actually not that bad.
Okay. And you blame Anthony Simons for this?
More than any other single person, I think.
You don't blame Lovelies for...
Don't bring it up.
Getting you so sated that you lost your balance.
How fucking dare you?
There's a Lovelies in Oakland, but they are like a pop-up burger place instead.
Interesting.
Sean,
probably a hard name to trademark. Yeah.
Sean, what do you think the Bucks equipment managers are doing here that is bothering these guys so much?
Well, because I feel like Doc is calling out the travel staff more. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is like one shitty hotel room, like one bad hotel that they just have not been able to let go. Like they went on some road trip to Orlando and like the premium one was booked and they were at like a 3-star hotel for a single night. And the guys just keep bringing it up and complaining.
I'm just saying,
and Brooke Lopez is even like,
it is in the
scene. I would have told you to book the Disneyland, you know, whatever. I just think they're all kind of soft a little bit on that team now. Like they weren't to begin with, but you know, they're all pretty rich. They've gotten used to the good life. And now I think it's like one hotel. Giannis was mad about like they switched detergents and they lost a game and he was just like, what are we doing? It's a hotel or like, the concierge didn't recognize him. One of them tried to offer him a lozenge when he checked in. And he was like, this is just my normal voice.
All right, guys, who's next on Doc's scapegoat list?
Wow.
I think it's Bango the Buck. I think he's going straight for the mascot. He needs a higher profile target.
That would be fucked up because Bango is, I think, one of our famous bad boys at the mascot.
He's one of the good ones. Like, yeah,
they had
he's
to force like Bango. The old Bango to retire because he was doing stuff that was so dangerous.
Yeah,
that the Bucks are like,
ACL
our insurance does not cover this anymore. Like,
I mean, maybe Doc could be like, they gotta bring back the old Bango.
Yeah, because he
inspired our guys by almost dying out there.
The stuff I was reading about Bango, and some of the stuff sounded like things they would Mickey Rourke would have done in The Wrestler. Like, they said this rickety ladder wasn't safe to do a backflip off of. But
ACL
I just
on that ladder.
I just snuck it out there without telling anyone. Like, it's like, yeah, I cut the he was actually like cutting the mascot costume with razors, and so ketchup would come out of it.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, if Doc wants to say like this new Bango is a fucking piece of shit, like quit handing out ice creams and fucking go do some stunts. Like I think I'd be down with that. You know who I think Doc should blame?
Who?
Just Dame. Just fucking do it. Open fire. Let fucking go. It's time. Just fucking say it. Just say like these inspirational speeches he gives are fucking terrible. They can only inspire guys who are destined to win at most 42 games in the NBA.
It's very funny that Miami and Portland are feuding as cities now.
Yeah, they are.
Which is like,
they are opposite cities pretty much.
I guess I can. Yeah. Yeah.
I think those are the capitals of the two separate
the two
warrior
Americas.
Factions in Alex Garland's Civil War.
they're mad. They didn't, Joe Cronin didn't even return their calls, and then they had to make January 7th.
We have an elite eight of questions for Corbin, but
I just want I want to say really quick. I think we should call this the Kelly Reichardt rivalry because her first movie River of Grass is Miami based, and many of her other movies are based in Portland.
Yeah, Wendy and Lucy, Meek's Cut
Showing
Off.
Up. And you guys see Showing Up?
No.
Oh, you should check it out. It's really wonderful.
But
you don't believe
for me? More takes like that, listen to the Pacific Northwest Insurance Company Movie Film Podcast.
Corporations, you fucked up. It's corporation.
Sean, do you want to talk about how Vivek Ranadive is a fucking moron?
So the Oakland A's are turning their backs on the city.
God's team.
My home.
Yeah.
And they
your home? Actually, I'm sorry, what hat are you wearing right now, Sean Keen?
Oh, that's a Giants hat, but do I have any hats that say Oakland? I have t-shirts.
Sean
that say
lives
Oakland.
In Oakland though. He's a Giants fan.
Yeah. I'm in the city limits. I would have an A's hat. I just don't have a hat. I should probably get an A's hat. I've been just getting minor league baseball hats recently, though.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Vivek and the Oakland A's.
Sorry. The A's have declared that they are moving to Las Vegas for a as yet imaginary stadium that is supposed to be built on the site of the old Tropicana Hotel. They're blowing it up and they're exhuming Bugsy Siegel's corpse burying it under home plate. It's going to be nice.
Yeah, that was actually built on Indian burial ground. Yeah.
Apparently the blueprints the size of the Bellagio fountains, which are big for fountains and small for a base and for a ballpark. But that stadium will not be built until 2028 at the earliest. There are a lot of sort of like volatile things about this project anyway, including, you know, lawsuits from the teachers' organizations who are like, please don't deplete our education fund to build a baseball stadium on the strip for
a creep,
a fail son.
I'm sure the teachers are going to have a lot of pull with the Las Vegas local government.
Yeah, it's funny because the bribes basically came out in the donations and they're all comically small.
From the A's
were throwing around two grand in donations.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but like, the reason teams are moving to Las Vegas is because Las Vegas's city government is comically easy to get stuff out of.
Yeah, like, although this is the like standard
of that. It is obvious that it is better to have a team in the fucking Bay Area
than it
is in Las Vegas. And yet they're like, well, no, but I want a big stadium. And I want the city to build it for me. And I'm pretty, and Oakland won't do that anymore. So I'm going to go to Las Vegas.
Well, it is wild that a guy generally considered not really he wasn't like the worst NFL owner, but definitely one of the most incompetent team owners. Mm-hmm. Like he's never done anything bad. Like the Browns owner, like systematically defrauded truck drivers of hundreds of millions of dollars. And like, the Colts owner just drives drunk every day. The Raiders owner was
I think it's fucked up, Sean, that you're acting like you wouldn't if you could.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I can't, so I haven't. But this guy, his dad, he was just bullied by his dad. Like he's never really done anything terrible except his choice in haircuts and
setting up office at a PF Chang's.
Yes, he called the Walnut Creek, California PF Chang's his office where he would just refills.
Yeah,
all
I hate
the time.
To tell you guys, but that's actually cool. So
all of it is cool. He has like an old retro van. I'm just saying he was considered a bad owner because people thought he was dumb. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of went to Las Vegas. He got shut out of an LA stadium deal by a Walmart
creep.
Concubine? Is that what Stan Kroenke is, basically?
He's
Walmart
a concubine, yeah.
He's a concubine.
Yeah.
And then Mark Davis kind of just went to Vegas and was just said, like, would you guys give me a stadium? And they were like, yeah, we'd do that. And so now he's very wealthy. And he designed his own home to look like the Raiders stadium, which is insane, but also rules.
And he is also behind the WNBA paying their players more now because he built a dynasty
in the desert. But now Vegas now has teams. They have a football team. They have a hockey team.
People love that.
And now the third stadium, people in Nevada are kind of like, we don't really like to be outside in the summer.
It's fucking hot as shit.
Like we're actually taking off for a lot of this if we can. We got into it. Anyway, Vivek Renadive, the owner of the Sacramento Kings, is also the owner of the AAA ballpark in Sacramento, formerly the A's AAA affiliate, currently the San Francisco Giants AAA equivalent. It is a very nice ballpark, but it's minor league baseball.
It's
not very big.
Yeah. It also doesn't have things that major league baseball parks have, like multiple batting cages. Or a family room or other things like
I think I'm on the ballpark side on that one. I don't want my family anywhere near me when I'm trying to slug dingers.
But the two teams will definitely have to share a batting cage when they're warming up.
They also might have to like lift weights in the parking lot. Yeah. That would be funny.
That would be sick. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And this is a Vivek. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Jerry.
It's a Vivek trick. He's gotten tricked by A, he's friends with the A's owner, who's a creep. But Vivek is basically betting that the Vegas thing isn't going to happen and that he'll just get to buy the A's and keep them in Sacramento after these 3 years are up.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Not a bad bet.
No, especially because
this guy will never sell the A's. That's the problem here.
It sort of depends on the stock price of the Gap.
Yeah.
The reason I really think this is the reason Oakland had gotten pretty far towards approving a ballpark and then suddenly just announced.
Close. Yeah.
Well, they just got a lot of grants. Like the way you do this kind of thing is you get the development grants, and they did it in next to a port that wasn't used as much anymore. And they kind of exploited some, but I think they'd lined up something like $300 million in federal grants and opportunity zones or whatever. And then the guy leading the effort just texted the mayor and is like, hey, I don't want you to read this in the paper, but they're going to report that we made a deal with Las Vegas. And then the mayor's response was, did you make a deal with Las Vegas? Yeah. And he was like, yeah, we definitely did that. I didn't tell you. I think there are definitely some reasons to be dubious about this Vegas ballpark.
Yes.
So it's not a bad bet by Vivek, but it's also, this guy does not like, selling things, and he's had very unsuccessful businesses before, and his claim to fame is that his dad started the Gap.
I mean, literally the reason he's moving to Sacramento is because he doesn't want to sell his half of the Coliseum yet, and that was like part of it. He hates selling things so much. He's given up millions of dollars in TV revenue that were based on.
Yeah, they have to be in the Bay Area to get
Oakland.
That, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Because the Sacramento rights aren't worth
because
as
he
much.
Does because he doesn't want to sell his half of the Coliseum back to the county or the city of Oakland. Mm-hmm. That's the entire reason he's moved to Sacramento, because he hates selling things. And Vivek is helping him, thinking like, I'm gonna buy this thing that he's definitely not going to sell him.
The other thing that's funny about this is go ahead.
He could weasel his way in to get a chunk of it.
No, he cannot. This guy will not do this. I'm telling you.
Okay.
This is they are so incompetent. At one point, the A's announced they were building a stadium at an Oakland community college without talking to the community college. And the reason that blew up is they were like, we need that space
for
to teach people.
Well, it's just the only thing is that this guy really does not have very much money. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he has a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
he doesn't have make things happen at a whim. Anyway,
he doesn't necessarily have cash.
Yeah.
Like he can't just liquidate his gap stuff. He only has
ass and grass.
Ass and grass.
As we know, in capitalism, nobody rides for free.
Nobody rides for free.
Anyway, that Veronica Dive is a huge piece of Walter shit, Benjamin. And I hate him for letting this happen.
So how much of the TV money do they forfeit by going to...
It's unclear yet. I think they're now... I think also... See, I... Who knows? It doesn't matter. Like
Vivek is also maybe not quite rich enough to buy the A's, so
yeah.
There is a rumor that this actually could be a Joe Lake of Vivek Ranadive project, getting the band back together, putting the A's light years ahead.
They should get that
the city of Sacramento.
They gotta make sure they involve that guy who called Kyle Lowry a piece of shit.
Oh, and hit him. Yeah, trying to hit him. Yeah, that guy's in. Gotta get Rick Barry in.
Well, yeah.
Rick Barry should be at the first game, or maybe the last game at the Oakland Coliseum. Rick Barry can show off and be like, "Hey, you people, I've talked to this guy. It's going to be a beautiful stadium in Vegas. Come on. Show some class."
Anyway, Joe Lacob should not do that. Vivek Ranadive should not have done this. It's cruel and it hurts my feelings and makes me sad. And makes so everyone I grew up with incredibly sad. So
yeah, they were going to, like, Oakland made them a pitch to extend the lease 3 years, right? Yeah. Something like that.
Yes.
And then they were also pretending they would move to Salt Lake City, which they were never, ever going to do. That's,
anyway,
I don't know.
No offense to our friends at Unsalvageables. It is very beautiful.
Talked about it
it's
week,
getting better.
Actually,
check out Unsalvageables with Greg
Foster. It's just actually
and Sarah
called
Todd.
Unsalvageable. But
Unsalvageable.
All right, Sean.
I prefer your name, Sean.
Last week we did a Sweet 16 of questions.
I have a question about if you guys saw something. Did you guys see that Monte Ellis is opening up a basketball academy?
No, but that's amazing.
Well, it kind of makes sense, actually.
Yeah,
because the basketball academy, aren't you just like learning dribble moves and tricks and things like that? I suppose it's not like the academy of team basketball.
I would be like, I'm not sure that I want Monte Ellis to teach my children how to play basketball. I'm not sure
anything at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure if what he teaches them is even properly basketball. It's more like a sort of a space experience.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
All right, you can go on to the segment you were doing now. I apologize. Yeah.
Last week, we did a Sweet 16 of questions, and Sean has written an Elite 8 of questions for Corbin and me. Sean, do you want to run us through that? And then let's get out of here.
Yeah, okay. Number one.
Out of here. I'm here for another hour. Let's go, buddy. My wife left me. This is all I have.
I have to do a podcast about TV Guide later. Okay. Draymond Green got suspended after hitting Yusuf Nurkic. And afterwards, Nurkic was kind of nice about it, I would say. He was like, I hope this guy gets therapy, which really makes Draymond mad if Kevin Durant says it, but doesn't really bother him when it's somebody else. Then when he came back, the Suns, Nurkic's new team, played the Warriors, and Nurkic scored on Draymond and slapped the ground. Draymond did it back to him, and the Warriors won. And after the game, Nurkic was horribly offended and angry. Do you think Yusuf Nurkic should also go to therapy?
I mean, therapy can help a lot of people. I'm not in a position to say one way or the other.
Everybody should go to therapy, so yeah.
I don't think, look, I want to make it clear, I don't think everybody should go to therapy.
Most people.
You should go to therapy if you have problems. If you don't have problems, you don't need to go to therapy. It's just going to give you a little vocabulary to use to fuck with people.
Like Tony Soprano. Hill.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You guys know about these dating apps? You hear about these things?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Okay. Whenever I'm on one of these things, I'll see people with stuff that says, like, tell me, what do I want to talk to you about? What you're talking about in therapy? And I'll just be like, first off, no, you definitely don't want to hear about what I talk about in therapy. And second, there's other ways of viewing the world. It's just that this is a person's only like authentic intellectual experience in their life. And it is like, and it is like self-centered at its very core. Mm-hmm. And so if this is what gets people going, like, yeah, you should go to therapy. You should go to therapy. Da, 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 da. Like, it's like, you know what I'm going to say instead? Like, you should, like, I don't know, read a book or something. Because you could also have an enriching and world expanding experience from that without it being like, you know, self-centered by its very nature.
Right.
Therapy is for problems, folks. It isn't for it isn't to you know, have something to talk about on a date. Because they'll be like, what are you talking about in therapy this week, Corbin? About how I don't pitch enough and I should exercise more.
Yeah.
That was what
and
I really
how I fell down him. Yelling about Anthony Simons in the street.
I was not yelling about him. It was just making me mad in my heart.
And then it made me bleed on the bus.
I will say two things that I don't really enjoy stand-up comics talking about are anything related to therapy, unless they're immediately making fun of themselves. But like I was on a showcase once. I was going to tell a joke about my grandmother lying about my grandmother getting mad at me for taking antidepressants. I decided not to do that because four of the first five comedians talked about being depressed.
It's like, yeah, like I've also seen Maria Bamford.
Yeah. And also I'm like, these people are paid money. They're out here trying to have a good time. You don't like, obviously we know you're depressed. You're doing this. You know what I mean? Like
the only therapy that should be on a comedy show is Dr. Katz.
I mean, I like Maria Bamford.
It's not novel. That's the only thing.
I like Maria Bamford. She definitely opened up Kraken's gate.
A little bit, yeah. I would also say that I did have a telephone therapist during COVID, and I was ghosted by that therapist, and
I don't blame him. You're kind of toxic.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
You're not supposed to keep working with sociopaths.
The last session, clearly she was doing something else and like lost track of what I was saying, and then was just like, you need to take a journal and write down every time you feel angry. And I was kind of like, I was not talking about that at all.
Are you an angry person, Sean?
I don't like deal with my anger well, but no, I think I'm pretty.
What do you think, Joey?
I wouldn't describe Sean as an angry person, but
there are definitely
say,
angrier people.
Yes,
yeah.
But I would say Sean gets mad at people. Yeah, but like unhealthily. But he doesn't. He won't tell them, which is unhealthy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
But it's not.
I also just like don't like yell at people.
No. You know? But sometimes Sean, it would help Sean if he was like, hey, friend I've known for 15 years, you really hurt my feelings when you did this. But that's not anger, I would say.
Now, Joey,
anger is a problem.
Joey, can you mute for a second?
Sure.
Shauna, what did Joey do to you?
But Joey hasn't done anything to me. I don't think he's really hurt.
I think that based on the last statement Joey made, I think we can all tell that Joey did something to you and you're mad about it. You're not
talking about it. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Sean,
private session you just intruded on.
Vivek Ranadive is my uncle. And he's been going through some stuff. He A's in the ballpark and he just wants people to hang out with him.
And we just can't.
He just wants people to come to Sacramento and hang out. He really wants to meet Aaron Judge.
Well, who doesn't? He's very strong.
Sean, what's our second question?
Our second question. Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Matt Ishbia, the new owner of the Phoenix Suns, are embroiled in a crazy mortgage-related feud.
No.
It's led to, like, the
You're telling me Cavs Dan did something bad with a housing bond?
Yeah. No. So one of Ishbia's lieutenants at some point was sent this email to like 100 people about how some Rocket Mortgage VP's wife had hooked up with Ishbia in college, specifically stating that it was oral sex related. Ishby is the kind of guy who like calls them motherfuckers and cocksuckers. We're going to take them out. But one other element of this is that the Detroit Pistons owner, Tom Gores, is heavily invested in Ishbia's company, United Worldwide Mortgage.
Mortgage. Okay. I thought it was just called United Worldwide.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing. But
no, that's actually Pitbull's corporation.
Oh, yeah.
It's also, I don't want to get into this, but also Ishbia started one of those special project acquisition companies, which just raise a lot of money, but don't necessarily have to be. There's some shady things maybe going on with the valuation of his company. Uh-huh. Could be why he is mortgaging the future of the Phoenix Suns, who don't really have any draft picks.
I think, you know, I've been thinking a lot about I've been writing for somebody about the sports gambling app thing. Mm-hmm. It isn't out yet, but it will be soon. Mm-hmm. Certain editors get off their duff.
Mm-hmm. In your face, Stern.
Yeah, David Stern.
Yeah,
I've been sort of fascinated by the role that this thing is playing in the mindset of the modern NBA owner, which is so aggressively valuation focused and blind about almost everything else. And I think the sort of fundamental difference between the Stern era and the current thing is that Stern's owners and the way that Stern acted was all very protectionist. It was all very like, we are keeping what we have here. We are defending what we have here. Like to the point where it's even a little bit unreasonable. And everything with Silver is about valuation expansion.
Right.
Everything. And I think that it's every time I hear about a new NBA owner, I you guys talked about this with Henry Abbott a while ago. It's like, it's like a Michael Milken guy, or like it's just like a sort of.
It's directly a guy who worked with Michael Milken. It's
just like a money.
20% of the NBA.
Like everybody who owns an NBA team right now, or is about, or in a new way, is a money wizard, and like everything that is in the sports ownership right now is just all. Just driving into how much money wizardry can we get.
Yeah. Well, and I will also say, having just read a very expansive book about the history of JP Morgan, which spawned one of those firms that Michael Milken worked in and did a lot of junk bond trading itself. There's so much like middleman skimming stuff going on too. Like the reason there were so many crazy mergers and corporate takeovers in the 80s is that these bankers who were loaning everybody the money were just incredibly incentivized to strip mine companies and force these deals where like both companies were destroyed in the end, basically. Yeah, and are just like, yeah, well, now you owe us $400 million and we're taking a $50 million fee for making this deal.
It's like McConaughey says in Wolf of Wall Street, you get another fancy idea. It's a who's it, it's a what's it, it's a that. But all the time, you'll get insane fees.
Yeah.
And then it goes, great movie. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, now hedge funds can own up to 20% of an NBA team.
I mean, obviously the gold mine here that everybody has to have their fucking eye on, but they have to like Dubai. Wait for Jerry. Yeah.
Sovereign wealth is limited to 5% and it can't be voting right now, but that will probably change.
The day Jerry Reinsdorf dies, like that entire block of owners is just going to fall apart. And like, the Saudi Arabia is just going to own the Lakers.
Well, do you know where the FIBA World Cup is taking place in 2027?
Is it Dubai?
It's Qatar, but yes. So who own 5% of the Washington Wizards, who are trying to get the state of Virginia to give them a $1 billion arena.
Yeah, well, that is also going to have a casino in it, right?
Probably, yeah, I assume. They're all going to have a suit.
Until something breaks bad.
Yeah. So my question is, with these guys in like a blood mortgage feud and Tom Gore is involved, could a Big Short style situation tank the NBA at this point?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that necessarily. I think the fact that all sports leagues are betting the house on gambling applications is
that
the,
Jaunte Porter is strong enough to manipulate.
You know, and I personally think that what's going to happen is that when Jaunte Porter stuff happens, they're going to enforce the rules and they're going to be like, it's fucking fine. And like,
yeah.
And like, and they're going to be like, please, we fucking dare you. What I think the second thing is that sooner or later, there's going to be a public health crisis around sports gambling. And then the federal government is going to intervene. And then it's going to get fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Because like, you know, the scale of that industry is going to almost necessarily have to shrink. And I think these sports leagues are going to be like, oh no, our valuations.
Blah, blah. Yeah.
You know what's really crazy? Disney owns a sports betting app now.
They don't own, you know what? They actually don't own the app. They license ESPN to the app.
Oh, excuse me. My bad.
But they might own the app still, someday.
I don't think, you know, Walt Disney, though, is like in on gambling is really what I'm pointing out here.
Yeah, that's true. It is Joey, it is a world of pure imagination. Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Sean, question
next
three.
Question. Okay, Steve Ballmer fucking loves toilets. There are a million of them in the Intuit Dome, their uh-huh. new home next year. He can't stop talking about how great these toilets are. Mm-hmm. How much is he talking about toilets when he's working with Paul George on his upcoming contract extension?
Oh, you mean the one that is secretly falling apart that everyone keeps talking about, that Paul George might be available this summer?
I mean, to drive up his price, yeah. Yes. They're pretending that he's going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers, yeah. Even though he doesn't want to move out of Los Angeles.
And his parents do not fly.
I don't believe they fly, no. Yeah. He just wants a max deal. Like, that is what's falling apart, is that the Clippers are trying to pay him less than Kawhi Leonard because he misses a lot of time, and Paul George is like, I don't think you really have a choice. I think you're going to just give me a max.
And I think also, they are, probably. I don't think I miss as much time as Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard, congratulations on hitting the 65-game threshold and becoming eligible for All-NBA. I'm sure that matters to you a lot. Actually, I think he probably cares.
Dude, you could tell me anything about Kawhi Leonard's inner life, and I believe it. You could tell me he's never had sex, or you could tell me that he is like an Eyes Wide Shut weirdo. I would buy either one equally.
I'm gonna say,
hell yeah. We're
the only thing is actually, like, you know, he needs so many NDAs for the Eyes Wide Shut thing. I don't think he could control it.
I'm sorry, everything Sean, that he happens is like a dark. This question room. From the toilet one to is Kawhi Leonard an Eyes Wide Shut guy?
I mean, I just think he's like a guy who would have maybe be like an Eyes Wide Shut guy, but it's like one dom. You know what I mean? He's so afraid of his personal life and details. Mm-hmm. Like, he would maybe just put that person on the payroll and set him up in a nice mm-hmm. dungeon basement in his San Diego home where he lives, even though he works in Los Angeles.
But then the other way it could be, you know, he's not actually scared of anything.
But also, I don't necessarily think an Eyes Wide Shut guy needs a bunch of NDAs because he never takes the mask and the hood off, right?
Yeah, who would recognize Kawhi Leonard, a guy with cornrows, the most jacked 6'8 man you've ever seen, wearing a knee brace at an orgy? Who could that be?
Anybody has ever had.
I'd be like, I don't know, it could be anyone.
He'd just be like, this is a... I'm Nick Nightingale.
There's a crazy Eyes Wide Shut party, right, guys?
Yeah, this sounds pretty fun. I'm so horny, guys.
And then he laughs. He laughs like that when he comes. All right.
LeBron is sitting there like, oh, my God.
I was at an Eyes Wide Shut orgy the other day, and... the guy leading it after doing the Gregorian chanting thing was like, what it do, baby?
You know, that sounds like a fun Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yeah. Actually, if I knew it was going to be this kind of Eyes Wide Shut party.
But yeah, potatoes. How much is Ballmer talking about toilets? Like 60% of the time.
Yeah, I think he just can't help himself. Like, yeah. I think they're giving him notes every time he's about to talk about that. where he's like, so we're just going to skip the toilet talk this time. And he's like, yeah, sure. I'm not going to mention it. And then he's like, there's 1,018.
You know what? I'm kind of like,
you know what? Good for him. There should be more toilets.
The people who work for Ballmer really think that they have any control over what he says or does?
No,
they can't.
Yeah, right.
He's not going to say anything that bad. It's always just going to be like, maybe not all that professional, but
yeah. Whatever.
Also, if anyone knows,
what secrets do the Clippers even have to leak? You know what I mean? Like, no one cares that
much. The worst, the Clippers have already had the worst owner they could possibly have.
Also, relative of Steve Ballmer's, if you would like to come on the show, let us know. Just if you're a relative of Steve Ballmer out there and you want to talk to us.
It's about what he's like.
Come on.
Like.
Yeah. Let us know what your uncle or dad is like. All right.
I do know his son.
I know. That's why. That's the joke I was making. Yeah. It was an inside joke for Sean. All right.
Yes. What is his son? Well, what does his son do? How do you know his son? Here.
He does stand up.
Yeah. His son does stand up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That guy should go to therapy.
Sean, what's our next question?
I'm sure you're a nice guy, Steve Ballmer.
So it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Daniel Gafford almost tied Wilt Chamberlain's consecutive basket streak. If he had beaten Wilt the Stilt, should his wife have given him a hall pass?
I don't really believe in monogamy, so I, you know. I want to readjust that. I don't believe in monogamy as like an organizing ideology. I probably wouldn't do it because I find trying to get somebody to have sex with me like really tedious. So I don't know, whatever, why not?
Okay. Polycorps. Right. That's checking in.
keep that in mind, Deshunder Gafford. Daniel Gafford's wife of 2 years. All right. My next question is, what is the closest NBA equivalent to Oppenheimer, a guy who broke the league's world and regrets it now?
Well, you're trying to get me to say Steph.
No, I don't really think. I don't think Steph is like tormented at all by his.
You know, he cried on court recently, though, right?
Yeah,
he did. He did. Yeah.
No, look. How about this? In this metaphor, Steph is Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. Draymond Edward Teller.
Draymond's the ball. Oh, he's Edward Teller. Okay.
Yeah. And like you know, Draymond is taking it too far, and now Steph is like, oh God, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could definitely see Ayesha Curry refusing to shake Draymond Green's hand.
I could in a crucial moment. 100% see that happening. At like the White
House. He comes back after a playoff loss. He's got scratches all over his arms. And she's like, why are you letting the referees do this to you? Why don't you fight? And so she's like, I'm going to go on Twitter and do it myself.
Yeah.
Also, Ayesha Curry was a member of the Communist Party for 4.5 years, but she left.
Yeah. And you know what? I think Emily Blunt probably has really nice feet.
That's probably true. I'm also 1,000% sure that the internet has an answer for that.
Wait, does that make Monte Ellis Niels Bauer?
I think he's more like Ernest Lawrence.
Yeah, I think he's more. Yeah, I think he's more like an early bad Los Alamos guy. No, Niels Bohr would be
Don Nelson.
No, Reggie Miller.
Oh yeah. I could see that.
Or maybe Steve Nash.
Steve Nash. It's Steve Nash because he also worked with the Warriors a little bit, and he's like, I have to have a horribly unsuccessful head coaching career. I'm out of here, guys. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Thank you for smuggling me out of Phoenix, where I cheated on my wife a lot. I'm not here to work with you.
This would make Einstein probably Larry Bird.
Yeah, I could see that. Or it's like, it can't be Ray Allen. He's like, he doesn't have anything to say.
No, is Don Nelson Einstein?
I mean, I could see him like wandering around a lake.
Airbnb. Yeah, because the idea Don Nelson had was like, oh, offense is cool. But then the next step would be like, you shoot threes every time. And Don Nelson would be like, I don't know about that. I think only Manute Bol should shoot threes.
Yeah, like my whole idea was to draw the big man out of the paint, not to take 50 a game. And then he and then whispers him. I think we did break the word.
Oh, I guess D'Antoni and Nash. They're Niels Bohr and I guess
Heisenberg. Yeah.
Well, and then also there's a point when LeBron James is taking Steph Curry out to give him the tenured position at the Nike Institute. Mm-hmm. And he shares a conversation with Don Nelson, and LeBron doesn't realize they're not even talking about him.
Wow.
That is why LeBron James will never become the Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah.
Were you watching that the end of Oppenheimer and thinking like, well, you know, it's actually LBJ who's really fucking this guy right now. Like, it's we're acting like it's this moral performance, and it's actually LBJ calling a vote when three Republican senators are out of town. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he does.
Pimp.
It's great.
P-I-M-P.
Well, that's why it's like all these other people making like speeches and moral things, and LBJ is like, I get things done.
Mm-hmm. Look, we don't look. We're just touching on all of Corbin's favorite topics.
Okay, so we're gonna switch this a little bit.
In that movie at the end when they're like a senator named John Kennedy, I was like, hack.
Yeah. That was the point when I was like,
show us daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy.
The guy literally taking his dick out in his office and being like, you're gonna go on vacation and you're not gonna vote for this piece of shit. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna do it because daddy told you to.
Speaking of kind of daddy energy, who in the NBA would be best served to become an endorser of Big Dog shirts?
Oh my God. Where did you start? Okay. First off, Kenny Lofton Jr.
Kenny.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did I tell you guys I saw Kenny Lofton play in a D-League game against the Portland D-League team?
Kenneth. He doesn't like being called Kenny.
Because he's not related to the baseball player.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway.
They had slightly different physiques.
He was fucking sick. He had like 30. He was diamond all over the place. It was fucking awesome. You get the chance to see Kenneth Lofton before he goes to Europe. Make it happen for yourself.
Yeah. Uh-huh. By the way, do you think it's weird that the movie Major League came out, and then like 6 months later, the Cleveland Indians traded for the real Willie Mays Hayes and Kenny Lofton. Like he joined their team and then they became good.
I've always thought that was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll let Corbin talk for a second.
Yeah.
Think on this one.
I think, you know, I think that, okay.
I think Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, that's
a
good.
Big dog shirt guy. Good. Yeah.
I've got an answer that you guys might not be ready for.
Okay.
Okay.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It kind of works. Too famous, though. Go ahead. Go ahead. You go. Sorry.
Just imagine him in a slightly too small big dog shirt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be great.
And he's at a state fair and he's sampling funnel cake.
And he's like he's a fundamentally enthusiastic man. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know?
I will
and
say
he, and most... he really think I think he could maybe like really think they're funny too.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's like, you should get off the porch.
Like, I think if LeBron did, like, I think if LeBron did it, it would be winking and ironic.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No, you want someone who.
What I will say is who could pull it off in a winking, ironic way, but it would still be cool, is Russell Westbrook could definitely start wearing big dog shirts in the tunnel. Like, vintage big dog shirts. It would be great. It would.
You know who wouldn't mean it, but it would be lame?
Jimmy Butler.
Mm-mm. You know who else would mean it, but it would be lame?
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But see, Damian Lillard, I don't even think that Damian Lillard wouldn't go as far as Big Dog. He'd start wearing those and one shirts that are like that the silhouette man that say I'm gonna post you up and back you down or whatever.
I can see him wearing like a no fear shirt and then giving like a real serious press conference where he's like, well, I don't have fear in big moments.
Yeah. Devin Booker though, no fear shirt, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, and I also think that this is a little bit of a weird one, but
you know what?
Co-ed naked volleyball, Zach Collins.
You know who else could do it? Ironically, I think maybe get it off. Durant. I think Durant could maybe.
Yeah,
that'd be. I actually think Durant would be more of a Stussy guy, but yes.
I was going to say Durant to me feels like the ironic dare shirt guy.
but he wouldn't go as far as drugs are really expensive.
No, it would just be him wearing a vintage Dare shirt and being like, well, you know, I smoke a lot of weed. to people in the locker room, but not publicly.
To me, that sounds like more of a Kyrie thing, personally.
Kyrie is too sincere, actually.
His version of the Dare shirt would be like... Something about it would spell out something like an authentic sentiment about family
it would be like the D would stand for dreams for sure.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
What's our next?
Okay,
you know what? I personally, if you gave me like a purple hoodie that said like dreams across it. Mm-hmm. I might wear that. That sounds
cool. You wouldn't be able to pull that off, Corbin. Uh-huh. I think that would be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. This is a Blazers question.
You need to cut this out because this is my new streetwear brand.
I like that. I really like that.
Dreams.
So Scoot Henderson got to the Portland Trailblazers, drafted number 3. They threw Dame Lillard out of town to get him. And then they realized he needed glasses.
Uh-huh.
First, what was G League Ignite doing?
Yeah, that was Ignite's fault.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Two, having watched his rookie season, was he kind of better when the court was just vague shapes for him?
I can't.
Like, is he worse? Would he be better a little bit blind?
I can't get into this right now. He's very young. This is my stock answer. He's very young.
Okay, and finally, number 8. The Celtics are good at everything this year, except in crunch time, Jason Tatum insists on taking Kobe Bryant fadeaways.
No dog.
Yeah, notice we didn't mention him as a big dog guy.
Oh, no. Jason Tatum would wear a big dog shirt and mean it.
Yeah.
And it would be tragic.
Jason Tatum's like, no. It is the size of the dog in the fight.
Yeah. And then he would lose.
Yeah. Would it be ironic if Kobe Bryant was able to beat the Celtics one more time simply by inspiring their star to continually emulate him in crunch time and fail over and over again?
Yes.
Yeah. And that one wasn't as good as some of the other ones.
No, well, it wasn't open-ended at all. There's no answer, me and Joey.
Yeah, you know what? Let me give you a bonus one. Okay.
Learned a podcast, kid.
Okay. The New York Knicks. Julius Randle is out for the year with an injury. OG Anunoby it is a shoulder injury, but I still blame Skechers.
This is so unfair, guys. Just let you know.
It is a shoulder injury, but and then OG Anunoby.
Yeah, and his shoulder sponsor is Nike, so don't you sound like
that's true. That's true. Yeah. Ooh, it was actually Massimo. He was wearing a Massimo shoulder brace.
It had a little battery on it. Sorry, I know that we're bouncing all around. Julius Randle, I think look really great in a big dog shirt.
He would.
That would be tight.
No way around it. Maybe like, you know what would be fucking sick for Julius Randle? Hear me out on this one. Big dog shirt, sleeves cut out so that you could really, you know, see the sculpture.
Yeah.
So
OG Anunoby has played only 3 games since Randle separated his shoulder too. Meanwhile, we've got Josh Hart thriving, playing power forward, putting up triple doubles, and literally never sitting down. He's also playing Jalen Brunson huge minutes, and
he's also. I don't like that they're calling this guy Miles Deuce McBride.
Yeah. So is this a situation where Tom Thibodeau knew the Knicks weren't going to compete and he's just trying to like eliminate the weak? Like he's just like
calling the herd.
Yeah. Like he diamonds.
He introduced bird flu so that he only had Super Tiffin left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Would you put that past Tom Thibodeau?
I would not.
Yeah. It also wasn't open-ended enough.
Look, but I said this 2 weeks ago. Tom Thibodeau's goal since taking that job in New York City, I have no reason to think this, but I'm pretty sure it's true, is to eventually get into the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. He just wants to compete. He doesn't want to win. He just wants to compete. It's his dream.
Do you think that all the New York steakhouses have like a signal they yell when they see Tom Thibodeau approaching?
Yeah. They're like, wrap more signs.
No, they're ice.
Do you think he ever goes
by which they mean take the biggest steaks off ice?
Yeah. I also like the idea of him going to a steakhouse just wearing his normal clothes, and they're like, sorry, we require a jacket, and then they just take out a special track jacket that they've actually tailored to his size.
Yeah.
And they're like, proceed, sir.
Thank you. Enrico. He knows the name to all of us.
Yeah. Do you think he's ever like baked potato, no sides whatsoever?
No, I don't. But
no, he's put them all on there.
Yeah.
Let these toppings, let this fully loaded potato. We'll see if the sour cream or the cheese is stronger.
For this steak, could you cut a baked potato in half and just plop it on top of the steak for me? Thank you.
It's all mixing together in my stomach anyway.
All right, that's our episode. Hey, vote for our March Madness Final Four. The poll will be up on
Every year you do it, I'm jealous. Go on.
The poll will be up on our Twitter at Round Rock Pod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone. We're going to have a bonus episode up Monday. Listen to that with Aaron Judge, the comedian, not the baseball player. Oh. We made her watch the Aisha Curry, Lindsay Lohan movie, Irish Wish, on Netflix, and we talked about it.
Is Aisha Curry in the movie, or did she produce it?
Oh, she's in it.
She's in it.
She plays Lindsay Lohan's best friend. Not bad. She's fine.
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, the movie's terrible, but she's
as good as anyone else.
Yeah.
I heard something about them maybe writing it with AI.
Oh, there was a Vulture article that said they did that, but it's just poorly made.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah. I think they're letting the human screen, the official human screenwriter, off the hook.
Yeah. Right. And Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, you can check out my album, America's Uncle Dad, available Bandcamp, music places, iTunes, you know, that stuff, the place you buy it. Also coming up this next week, I promise to release footage of the comedy show I did on 9/11. My album debuted at number one, and it did. So I'm going to find...
We're going to get canceled.
Well, the regular show, I'm just going to post my stuff, and I'm going to do it from the open mic because I'm doing a regular set at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. I think the open mic's on tape. I got to check this weekend, but
Corbin, anything you would like to plug?
My podcast is the Pacific Northwest Insurance Corporation Movie Film Podcast. We have episodes about all your favorite movies. The Tree of Wooden Clogs, Cure, The Life and Death of Colonel Blimp, Letters from Home. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, an hour and a half long video art piece about New York City. Check it out. It's really good, actually. I feel like I go too much.
Can I say, will you give our listeners one movie recommendation that they all should watch?
You know, I actually recommended Showing Up earlier in the episode, and I'm going to do that again. Kelly Reichardt, one of our great American movie makers, has made a weird, light little comedy about artists who live in Portland. And as somebody who lives around Portland, sort of in, you know, we don't want to get into it, but who lives in Portland, it's actually kind of incredible how much she captures how the city looks and feels. And I recommend it a lot.
And as someone who doesn't live there and lives in Vancouver, Washington,
don't you live in like Beaver Springs, Beaver Creek?
No, I live in Salmon Creek. And actually I live in Hazelbell technically, but Salmon Creek is a stone's throw away.
And then as for me, you can always follow
me. I have one more thing to promote.
Yeah.
If you live in the Portland area, I will dog sit your dog, and I will take very nice pictures of them. It will double as a photo shoot for your dog, but also I'll dog sit.
Mm, that's very nice, actually.
I'll try to take you up on this summer, Corbin.
I'll do it. I'll go. You'll have to pay for me to go down there, but...
No, I mean, like, I would come if I came to Portland.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to just come to Oakland and live in my house while... I've gone somewhere. You could do that too.
Totally do that. I'm not even joking. I will do that.
Yeah. I'll talk to you about that.
We'll
offline.
Talk about that later. You can always follow me.
We're hammering out every detail right now.
You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I don't have a tweet to read, but I do have to reveal I'm currently appearing on the Australian version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
What?
And revealed that I'd never eaten a strawberry before.
He had never eaten a strawberry before. Yeah.
Wow.
The stage
moms try to keep him away from carbs.
I mean,
you know?
He ate a strawberry and then said, it's actually pretty good.
He's right. They're great. You know, I like them personally.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's all get Jerry West in the Hall of Fame a fourth time, baby.
Oh, we should have talked about that.
What?
If there's any opportunities to get him in a fourth time.
Saddest book tour.
If you could say like he's the logo. He's not because he's the logo.
Oh yeah, it's true. All right. Yeah. Anyway. Bye.
Bye.
Look, this is normally where a song would go, but instead I'm playing my favorite song of all time. The time on Take It or Break It, where Corbin was talking to John Wilmes, our friend, and he stuck his foot in an old bowl of chili. So please enjoy.
Sorry, what?
Or like a bank, maybe. I'd be like 21st century homes or something like that. Somebody makes a three-pointer.
John, why?
Because I think it's funny.
It is a little funny, but shit. I just stuck my foot in chili.
No, you did not.
I'm not fucking kidding right now. Oh, my God. I went to prop up my foot on the thing I prop up my foot on sometimes, and there's a bowl of half-eaten chili in it. Ah!
Oh, Christ, dude. You got a soldier on fucking Kurt Schilling style right now.
I'm about to get the hot foot. This is my chili sock game. Thankfully, I wasn't wearing socks. It just got on my skin.
Just a bare foot covered in chili, baby.
Oh, my Lord. John, please continue explaining why it's funny to yell 21st century mortgages.
Yeah, well, I'll be like Bank of America, bitch.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.